Maybe I got that right. Maybe I didn't. But Volvo of Dallas is at I-35 at Frankfort in Carrollton. He'll be there from 10 until noon tomorrow. So go see Norm. All right, now what is this Gordon Lightfoot thing? We probably should bring everybody up to speed because the snake said last week,
very bold,
on our big Edmund Fitzgerald day, that he would get Gordon Lightfoot on the show by yesterday. That did not happen.
Well, we should have talked about this yesterday, but we didn't have time, I guess. But
no, mainly we just forgot.
Pretty much.
Snake.
So I have good news, and I have better news, and I have some bad news. I'll start with the bad news. The bad news is he will not come on our show at this juncture in his life.
Damn it! That's what I say.
The good news is he will come on our show after the new year. The better news is he will play here.
What do you mean play here?
What? He's headed this way?
They are trying to book him a gig right now.
Would you tell him to help him?
I that's what I said. I go, dude, we could get you, we could find a place immediately. And he goes, well, we're looking at the Bass Hall.
Oh, man, how awesome.
Yes.
Did you tell him we could sell him 1,000 tickets?
Oh, yeah.
I think we can.
I told her, it was a lady. It was his publicist.
Tell her to check up on us.
And she was like, she goes, look, he's done. I told her that we were a sports station and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, okay, well, that's not too weird. He's done that before. But right now, he's just, you know, he's busy with his tour. And I go, is he healthy? She goes, oh, yeah, he's very healthy. I go, how's he sound? She goes, sounds great.
Awesome.
Yeah. But it's in the process of him being booked here.
So he might be headed down this way, and if he does, he'll be on the show then, huh?
Yes.
What do you think the odds are of us getting him in studio?
Probably zero.
What if we provided a limo?
Why would it be zero? I mean, it's not like that Sinatra's coming to town.
I know.
It's not like that Led Zeppelin is reuniting and coming in here. I mean, he's Gordon Lightfoot.
How big is Bass Hall? Because she goes, we're looking for some place that's about 2,500.
That's your place.
That's about right.
Okay. How great would it to see him at Bass Hall, though?
That'd be fabulous.
I don't know why we can't get him up here.
Well, maybe we can.
Maybe we can.
She said just call me after the new year, and all things right. Should be worked out then.
All right. Stay on that, and we'll see if we can't get him up here. I mean, I'm sure that there is some limo driver out there who, in exchange for a couple of spiffs, wouldn't mind hauling the great Gordon Lightfoot from crazy Fort Worth to the mothership for us.
Not
don't
me.
You think?
Or maybe we could do our show from Bass Hall that day.
Hey now.
Maybe we could.
And then there would be, because I'd like to go see it.
Boy, I'd like to go. I will go.
You've got to go. Oh, yeah.
Okay, then
being
there,
the folk singer that you are.
Then there we are. We set up at Bass Hall, and we do our show there. Well, why can't we do that?
I'm sure we can.
The problem is, if he's not going to come on until January, what are we going to do between now and then?
I think we'll make it.
Well, yeah.
I think we'll be okay.
I think he's got a great point. What are we going
to
do?
The hell are we supposed to do for content in the meantime?
You know what, with our luck, you know he'll show up? The week we're at the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, oh. No. No, no.
I guarantee you that happens.
Oh, boy. Oh, me. Oh, my.
And that's what you'll hear.
So on the Saturday Night Live show the other night, can I tell them this anecdote very quickly?
Sure. Yeah, you done, Snake?
Yeah, that's it.
So the Saturday Night Live show that they had the other night, when was that?
The
Sunday
80s
night?
Thing on Sunday.
Well, one of the cool things they did was they would play little snippets of some of the musical acts of the day. And I'm sure that any ticket listener who happened to be by the channel, any hardline P1, was very amused by the fact that one of the musical acts that they chose was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And as fate would have it, the song he was performing was Change of Heart. And as fate would have it, when he flashed up there, they were right on the bridge of that song.
Oh, boy.
Are you kidding?
Oh, me. Oh, my.
Did you start laughing?
Yeah, Yeah, I guess I did.
Hold me, hold my.
Did he have his rattle too?
Was he in his diaper?
No, he was playing guitar.
Diaper and crushed velvet suit.
Yes, he was wearing a diaper and a crushed velvet suit, Corby.
If that's going to happen and they play there, we should really do our show from there.
I imagine we can.
Or we get him to come on. Maybe we could be there for the sound check or something.
I wonder if he'll let me play guitar with him.
No. Might let Danny.
No, he won't.
Danny's better than
you,
Corby.
Okay? I know, he's way better than me. Okay? Sure he is, but I'm a bigger fan than Danny.
Maybe you
I
can,
promote him more.
Maybe you can show him Norm.
Maybe he'll let...
Maybe he'll never understand Norm.
Maybe he'll let Santana sit in with him.
Maybe he will.
Hey, speaking of songs, don't you have fat girl songs today?
Oh, yeah. I think that's at 5:10.
Yep.
I'm glad Danny helped you because... There are thousands out there, and
Danny,
I can come up with 1,000.
Not one bit.
Did you? He didn't help me.
And then we're leaving yesterday. You go, Danny, you're going to have to help me on this. I can only think of 5.
No, I had to cut it down. I
Ryan,
had to cut the list down from 25. I had to cut that, the top 10.
Yeah, but you know what else I found out yesterday?
What?
You know how he was bashing Unchained Melody?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what that is.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I do, too.
You did not. I had to tell you what it was.
I got it confused with their other spare-ass fat girl song.
So you going to do those later on?
Yeah, 5:10.
All right, 4:48 here on the ticket. Yeah.
I'm really put out by ESPN right now.
What do they do now?
Well, they're in the news a lot these days. Today.
Yeah. Major League Baseball kind of slapped their little hand, didn't they?
Yeah. I'm sure they don't care about that.
Dan Patrick quit.
That's right. Dan Patrick, one of their signature personalities, is getting out of there.
Bruce Gilbert left.
Yeah, another one of their signature personalities. Actually, I think they held the door open for him one day when he insisted on playing his 82 World Series bit. I don't know. I'm very mixed toward them today because I'm anxious to see this series that they have on tonight. The Bronx is burning. But I just hate this other thing that they're doing now. And I'm speaking kind of out of turn because I'm so turned off by this that I haven't been able to watch a whole thing of it yet. So I don't really know much about what it is and what the specifics of it are, but I get the gist. And I get it that once again, they're doing nothing but pandering to the cult of personality and perpetuating that whole thing with this Who's Now thing that they're doing.
Boy, it is a time kill, man.
It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
And the worst part about it is, it's not just some little online thing. I mean, it is kind of, but they dedicate full-blown segments
of SportsCenter to this.
With round tables.
Yes.
It's highly produced.
It's slick.
With a panel to discuss Who's now. Who's on the panel? Keyshawn is, I know. Yeah. Michael Wilbon
in his tennis shoes,
and Kirk Herbstreit, isn't he part of it too?
Yeah, and old Plane Train Eyes hosting it.
Stuart Scott.
It's disgusting, and you know what? I would love to know what George thinks of this.
George Dunham?
Yes.
Why?
Because, as a fellow spear carrier for the right and all that's good and right in this world, and being as much against the cult of personality and the pandering thereto in this world as me, I'd love to know what he thinks about this.
It's a waste of time. It's funny, though, because they have people going up against each other. I don't understand how they do it, first off.
I don't get the whole bit.
I guess they're picking, like, the biggest athletes going and just pairing them up against each other. But
it's
a lot of...
What's the criteria? I mean, what is it?
The criteria is you've got to be all about drawing attention to yourself.
Oh, I saw...
To get into this.
The one that they had was Tiger Woods versus Matt Leinart. Huh. I wonder who would win that. Matt Leinart, whose quarterback one season... a 3-11 team or whatever.
And today they are, yesterday, the one I saw was Kobe against Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Are they
now,
doing,
if it's Ronaldinho against Donaldinho, I'm interested then.
Are they doing it just because it's the 1st of July and there is no sports
yes.
going on? And
yes.
It's either that or arena football.
But there is sports going on.
That's right. I mean, they've always got through this time of year before without resorting to tripe like this.
Ty hit it on the head. There's nothing going on, and they don't know how to waste time.
Well, they used to know how to waste time.
Yeah, but it was... Well, they think this is a step up from their time waste. You know?
All they have to do is show a couple more highlights of baseball games, and there's their time right there.
No, Grego, this thing takes up 15 minutes of SportsCenter. It's not like showing the Phillies-Mets game. I mean, it is a chunk.
It's a full-blown segment, man. Like, they have brackets set up for this.
I've never seen a whole segment of it. I just flew by
and
it looked dumb, and I'm like...
I haven't either. I flew by there long enough to determine what it was, and I saw that Ronaldinho was getting mentioned on there, so that's enough for me.
I'll tell you this.
Couldn't play in the missile, by the way.
It was worth seeing it, because I was at the gym today running, and SportsCenter was on, and they had the Ronaldinho highlights. I don't have a choice what to watch. It's on there. And... it was worth it just to see his highlights.
Yeah, second-tier missile, right?
Yes, second-tier missile. It is a waste of time. They had Terrell Owens versus A-Rod. They got it all broken down into brackets, like the Ali bracket, the Jordan bracket, the...
Well, who decides? Do the masses vote on this
Babe
online
bracket,
or what?
The Billie Jean King bracket. Yeah, you vote online or you text message in. I know way too much about this.
What are you voting on?
Well, you sure
the
do.
The best?
Well, because it's on when I'm...
Or is it just up to you?
Huh?
Is
it's
just up to you. To create your own criteria.
Yeah, you vote on who's now.
They flash it up there. They'll spend 8 minutes apiece on each guy, telling you why he's great, what he's done, how many magazine covers he's been on, how many covers of EA Sports he's been on, all that crap. And then they show highlights of him. How many times
he's
been...
They mentioned that A-Rod was on a couple of magazine covers he probably wished he wasn't.
Yeah.
Couple of tabloid covers.
How many assault charges have you been up for? Stuff like that.
Anything useful that SportsCenter brings you, you can get on ESPN News.
Same thing. Same
Except
highlights.
For Michelle Bonner, who's a nice piece. And Shelly Smith.
I like Scott Van Pelt.
The ball-headed guy?
He's a golf guy.
He is a golf guy. He's good.
D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Ah, yes. The fellow in the bright nightgown has shown up. It is trifecta time. We do not have a working trifecta right now. However, we have a two-pronged possibility. We could be two-thirds of the way through our next one.
Who was our last one? Do you know?
Not off the top.
So the National Weather Service hadn't, because you never gave a grade on the last one.
Yeah, I did too.
You did? Are you sure?
Yeah, I believe it was a 20-point trifecta. But we have two possibilities today for us to discuss. One happened, I believe, last Friday. Now, this is a little bit on the provincial side, a little bit on the regional side in the realm of sports. The passing of Ray Meyer.
By the way, correction.
Yes.
We do have one that's working right now.
I thought we did.
On March 13th, we added Maureen Stapleton.
Okay, well then we could complete one today.
We could.
All right, Ray Meyer, the former DePaul coach. Now this is going to be especially meaningful to those with Chicago ties.
A lot of those in Dallas.
But Ray Meyer was a pretty well-known figure in the game of college basketball. He was at DePaul a very long time.
He led their rise to power in the late 70s and early 80s when they became a national power, led by none other than the Muffin Man, Mark Aguirre. He had a fairly well-known coaching progeny. His son was an assistant of his for many years, and then
Joey
broke off into coaching himself and did not meet with anywhere near the success of his father. But he passed on, I believe he was 92 years old or something like that.
Didn't Bob Ortegel coach with Ray Meyer?
Probably.
I think he did. I think Bob Ortegel coached with him. I don't know that for sure. I'd ask Mark Falwell, but he doesn't return my phone calls anymore.
So is...
Jeez.
So the question is Ray Meyer trifecta worthy? I say yes.
I say no.
Why?
Just not well known enough. I mean, he was a well-known... It wasn't like he was at even a major college. He was at DuPaul.
But he was at a major college basketball college.
And they won how many national championships? And
none.
They went to how many Final Fours did they go
win,
to?
They didn't win any, but they were in play for quite a few of them.
How many Final Fours did they go to?
I don't know.
I think the answer is zero.
Well, still, they spent a couple of seasons ranked number one for the better part of that.
No.
You say no?
No.
And in his later years, he had bags under his eyes that looked like ribeye steaks. What? Just hanging down.
What does that have to do with trifecta?
Nothing. Just wanted to point it out. Wanted to paint the picture.
If you're
theater of the mind.
If you're a college basketball coach, you probably need a title or a Final Four, a couple Final Fours at least. And, you know, I know who he is. We all know who he is because we work at a damn sports station. But that does
never
not...
heard of him.
Oh,
actually.
You haven't?
Uh-uh.
Well, that does not make him trifecta worthy.
We got to get tough on trifectas.
All right. Anybody else want to cast yes votes? We have three no's.
Kevin?
No.
All right. Ray Meyer, out. All right. Let us consider the merits of Oleg Cassini.
1-2, 1-2. I'm back.
The well-known fashion designer who passed on to the next plane at the age of what? 60?
He was older than that, wasn't he? He was in his 80s.
I can't remember. But he is known in the realm of fashion. I don't know enough about fashion to know enough of to know many of the specifics of his scene. But I do know that, and the stuff I read about him was that he was responsible for creating the look of Jacqueline Kennedy back in her time, which captivated the Frau throughout this great land of ours, and in many cases still does.
Designed that suit that her husband got killed in, the pill box hat. That was Oleg Cassini.
Now, I don't know what else he did, but he did that.
Tell you what else, he was also on the Superstars. Remember when they had the Superstars competition?
No.
Back in the 70s? You know, where they'd bring in athletes from different...
Well, yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember...
He was on that, and he designed their uniforms for that.
This guy is very well known, Mike.
Yes, I know. I know, and I think he's certainly trifecta worthy.
I've never heard of him.
There is no question...
He's up there
that
with...
Oleg Cassini needs to be in. Maybe the biggest name of the year. So far.
Don Knotts is bigger than him.
Yeah, Don Knotts is bigger than him.
Is he up there with like Calvin Klein and Ralph Lauren?
I've heard of
Armani
all those people and have
that.
Since I was 5 years old. I've never heard of this guy.
You don't remember Oleg Cassini from the 80s?
He probably predated you a little bit.
And plus, he was mainly in women's fashions. He didn't do a lot of men, although he did a lot of stuff for Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
He also was big in the cologne business back when I wore cologne.
How long ago was that?
Like a freshman in high school. I thought that would get me chicks.
Did it?
No. They couldn't see past the freaking perm and glasses.
All right, so I say yes. You say yes.
Oh, there's no question.
Cobra, you say no?
I mean, I don't... You know what? I would say no, but you guys... I mean, if he's that big, then he's that big. I don't know anything about fashion, so I'm not a good barometer for this.
Well, is it yes or no?
You got to vote.
No.
Danny?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
In.
Two-a-day
football practice.
Oh, boy.
Gosh.
I have a youngster who's involved in this right now as a sophomore in high school. And I have to say I'm really proud of him because he is now going further in his football career than anyone in the Dunham family history. My brothers and I.
He's made it.
We usually quit by ninth grade. And I went to golf after ninth grade. And I moved going into my sophomore year. My parents moved to Farmers Branch. And I'll never forget, we went in and met, you know, did my class schedule. And they said, well, what do you play? I said, well, I play golf and football. Well, that's kind of hard to do at the 5A level. You know, you got the overlap. And back then, you know, 25 years ago, they made it like a big choice for you. So I said, well, I couldn't give up golf.
Yeah.
And I love golf.
Yep.
So I stopped playing football. And I always regretted that for whatever that was, 1980. So that was 27 years ago. I've always regretted stopping playing football. Because if I had kept playing, there's no doubt in my mind.
I mean, you'd have been Ray Guy.
We would have won state. I would have been Ray Guy.
Throwing the ball over the mountains.
Yeah. Maybe play a little quarterback or something, but I stopped playing. I'm telling you what, and Grego can say this, Danny can. If you made it through high school football in the state of Texas, I don't care if you played or if you were a star and you were the eighth guy off the bench and you never played, you accomplished something because you stuck with it and you made it through high school football. And I think the Florida, California may have a say in it, but here high school football is the greatest anywhere in the nation.
Well, and plus you have the heat to deal with in 2 days.
Yeah.
And that's the worst
part
of it.
And you know, that's what makes kids quit.
Yeah.
It's just the physical nature of it, the 2 days. I remember in my ninth grade year sitting through 2 days and going, I'm going to die. I'm going to die here on this football field. I'll never get through this. And it was so scorching hot in Central Texas, plus the contact. Every time you get hit, it's like you're in a car wreck. If you make it through 12 years or however long you play, but you make it through your high school career, you've really accomplished something whether you've played or not.
And back when I was there, you had the Neanderthal coaches who didn't believe in water breaks.
No water is punishment sometimes.
No, I mean, if you had water, you were weak.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if a kid came home today from practice and said, we didn't have one water break?
You know, now
how fast
the coach would be fired the next day.
How fast the coach would be gone.
Yeah.
Hey, we always had, and we had like 2 weeks of two-a-days. Danny, you had the same thing. We had two straight weeks, and that's Saturday and Sunday also.
We didn't do weekends.
That has not changed,
my God,
Grego.
Now,
they have restrictions. Like if you're a 5A team and you have spring football, then you don't start your practice like until this week. But like my son's at a school where they didn't have spring, so they started two-a-days last week. They're doing 2 weeks of two-a-days.
Oh, God. It was, and I'll tell you, the worst feeling I had during two-a-days was the evening practice.
Yeah.
When it was almost over. You're thinking, God, I'm almost finished. You thought, big deal. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to sleep, and I got to be right back at this son of a bitch first thing in the morning.
Oh. Yeah.
And
it's brutal.
I remember them full pads just – anything, just suffocating. It was so hot.
And I'm here to tell you, I think the high school players to this day still go through a tougher August than pro and college players.
There's no question, because you do hitting every day, every single day.
Yeah, they get after those, you know, young bodies. They just
see.
I'm
really surprised that it's even allowed with all the
two-a-days.
Yes, two-a-days here. With all the death. And it's been a lot. I mean, there's been kids, high school kids, die all across the country.
I worry about him every day. Now, you know, they take precautions. In the morning, they go full pads. And in the afternoon, they'll just go, you know, shells and just go helmet and shorts, you know, and not keep them out quite as long.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when it's 104.
At 5 o'clock
or whatever. What are you getting done exactly?
You're not. And that's when you have guys go half speed, and that's when you get hurt.
That just all goes back to, well, I did it, and you're going to do it, too.
Yeah, the Junction Boys did it.
Yeah, that's the philosophy.
I remember we had one water break, and I can remember the old, shut up. Shut up.
We can't hear you.
It's all right, man.
We can't hear you.
It's cool. It's okay. We just can't hear what you're saying to us.
Shut up.
Awesome. It's all right. He's a good P1 here. The Grego just, you know.
Well, I mean.
Ruined his life.
Yeah, he just ruined his life.
But I can remember the old guys telling us, y'all got water breaks?
Y'all yeah.
got to drink water? And our water break consisted of standing there while the coach held the water hose.
That's enough.
Too much, Williams.
Oh, I remember one time he said, no, you're not working hard enough. You don't get any water.
I said, well, if I don't get any water, I quit. That was it for me, boy. Threw me right off the team. That's it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I had to do, you know, I begged to come back, and my dad got involved in it and just begged and begged and begged. And so for like a month, I had to do 16 100-yard run and rolls after every practice.
Oh,
16, where you run 100 yards and he'd blow the
roll
whistle,
a joint,
you'd have to roll over.
Keep going. Wow.
You know, at the end of practice, like every single practice, our coach, you know, you'd run.
Oh yeah.
And are they doing that still, or would that?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you go back at the width of the field. Yeah, the gassers.
You'd have the deal where, you know, so and so wasn't running hard enough. That doesn't count.
It's not a gasser.
And you'd have to be disciplined because you would do it on a count. And they're like, all right, this one's on two, and you'd all get down and
if
whatever.
If you jump,
then you got to do two more or whatever. Mm. And I remember so well, we had these stupid ass linemen who kept jumping and kept adding
linemen
on.
Always jump.
And finally, we stopped it, and I was like, look, quit freaking jumping.
Don't even move until everybody else is gone. Until you see somebody else's ass, don't move.
The very next one, I jumped.
You idiots.
So awful.
But, you know, it is pretty cool. It's like I said to my son the other day, though. I said, you know, you're about to start playing Texas high school football. There's really something to be said for that.